couple of announcements, and next Monday, the men are going to have our Monday night fellowship at 6, and we're having fish. Is that correct, Sam? Just want to make sure, not snake, fish. So any man is welcome to come, or teenage boys. So next Monday night at 6 in the Family Life Center. And then also we're signing up for Vacation Bible School, and that is going to be July 19th through the 23rd. And this year we have to sign people up ahead of time. And so if you know anybody that hasn't signed up or would like to sign up, they need to get in touch with Mary or Sheila or Julie. Let's have a word of prayer and we're going to get started. Father, I thank you so much for your love and your grace. And Father, tonight as we talk about celebrating and not worrying, not be torn apart by anxiety, Lord, I pray that we'd understand there are things we can do to make it better. So I just ask that you would speak to our hearts tonight, for it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Wednesday night, I talked about anxiety and worry. Worry literally means to pull you apart. If you're a worrier, it means you're being pulled apart. We talked about how the United States is the most anxious country in the world. We worry more than countries that have reasons to worry. And we talked about how that is so unhealthy. If you're a worrier, that's not good for you physically. It's not good for you spiritually. But the real question is, what do you do? What are your options instead of anxiety, instead of worry? Well, there is actually a spiritual discipline called celebration. I know it doesn't sound very spiritual, but there is a spiritual discipline where you make sure that you celebrate weekly, daily, the things God gives you in life. And there's a scripture that I love, Psalm 118, verse 24, and it kind of commands us to do this. It says, "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." The only way you obey that scripture is you discipline yourself. And it's easy to forget to celebrate the good things God does for you. And if you don't celebrate the good things that God does for you, then you tend to be anxious and you tend to worry. And so tonight we're going to talk about, and for the next couple of weeks, celebrating God's goodness. We are commanded to celebrate God's goodness. As a matter of fact, last week we studied Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. We didn't study it, we looked at it. And the very first thing that we are told to do in verse 4, Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." He says it twice in one verse. And many scholars believe the reason it's mentioned twice in that one verse is to emphasize how difficult it is to rejoice during hard times. And this word rejoice is a command. It's a present imperative command. And we are commanded to rejoice in the Lord. So it's not really an option. And to be honest, it's one of the great ways that you can get relief from anxiety and worry. And spiritual stability is related to how we think about God. As a matter of fact, there is a guy named A.W. Tozer says, "The most important thing about you is what you think about God. What kind of God is He? Is He a loving God? Is He a kind God?" So tonight we're going to be looking at celebrating who God is. And the one we're going to talk about the entire evening tonight is kind of a weird thing, but we are to celebrate the fact that God is sovereign. You know, Max Lucado had a quote, and the quote said, "You can't run the world, but you can entrust it to God." In other words, you can't make the world what it should be, but you can trust it to God and let Him be in control. You see, when Paul wrote that verse, "Rejoice in the Lord always," he was probably about 60 years old and probably had been a Christian for about 30 years. So he wasn't a young guy. He was an older guy. And he was in a Roman prison. And I want you to think about it. We know from the scripture that Paul had received 39 lashes on 5 different occasions. 39 lashes with a whip on 5 different occasions. He was beaten with rods on 3 different occasions. His back must have looked like a big scar. And he had been in prison. He had been deserted by friends and co-workers. And he had endured shipwrecks, storms, and even starvation. And yet we find that he wrote these words, "Rejoice in the Lord." Again, I say, rejoice in the Lord always. Some scholars think that by this time that Paul was probably blind or half blind. He had difficult seeing. And the terrible thing, when he wrote that verse, he was awaiting trial before Nero. Now, if you know anything about Nero, he is a historical figure. And Nero had found that he could gain favor with the Roman citizens by killing Christians. And so, think about it. Nero has in prison, Paul, who was the most prominent Christian of all. And so, I'm sure Paul knew that. And Paul is in prison, and his future does not look that bright. But he said, "Rejoice in the Lord always." You see, Paul's life, when you look at the scripture, was one big storm. And yet he constantly wrote this little book, Philippians, where he talks about joy and rejoicing over and over again. And when he said it in the present tense, which means that you're to continually rejoice. And that's just so hard to grab a hold of, realizing that this man is in prison. This man is, I'm sure, been beat severely multiple times. His body is probably wearing out, and yet he comes and he tells the Christians to rejoice. Now, how is he able to do that? I believe, like I said, that Paul believed in the sovereignty of God. That word sovereignty is a word that we may or may not know what it means, but it means ultimately that God is in control. I believe Paul believed that all the things that happened to him for a purpose. I believe that he knew that God was sovereign of even Nero. This verse of "rejoice in the Lord always" is not a call to have a feeling, a good feeling, but it's a decision. Now, here's the important thing. It is a decision and a deep confidence that God exists, that God is in control, and that He is good. When you believe in the sovereignty of God, you believe that He exists, you believe that He is in control, and that He is good. And I believe that while he was in prison, he knew that even though Nero was the emperor, he knew that God existed, that God was in control, and that God was good. And the important thing to understand is that your belief system precedes your behavior. If you don't believe that God is in control, and if you don't believe that He exists and that He is good, you would find it impossible to rejoice in the Lord. And I believe one of the reasons that Paul was able to not just know it, But to rejoice in the Lord is because his belief was in the sovereignty of God. And we need to understand that's very important. Because when you deal with anxiety, when you live with a world that is so crazy and anxious and out of control, one of the best things you can do to calm yourself is to understand that God is in control. You see, anxiety is often the consequence of seeing a world that is chaotic. You look out in our world today and you see a lot of chaos. And you see a lot of things that are going on, and it's troubling. And it makes us anxious a lot of times until we realize that God is in control, God is good, and that God exists. You see, you would have reason to be anxious if you didn't believe God existed. You would have reason to be anxious if you did not believe that he was in control. And yet the scripture teaches over and over again that God is sovereign. And because God is sovereign, because he is in control, on a daily basis, we can rejoice in the Lord. Because he's in control. Now, the problem is, we can't control our world. You can't control the person that you meet, your neighbor. You can't control other people. But you can trust the one who is in control. Now, do you know who the most anxious people, the most worrisome people are? Control freaks. Those who try to control everyone and everything to only discover it is impossible to do. And we need to understand that the Bible had a better idea. Rather than seeking total control, we as believers need to relinquish it. Instead of trying to control people, control situations, control the world, we need to let go of it. You can run the world, you can't run the world, but you can entrust God, entrust it to God who can. So peace is within reach even when there's abundance of problems. Why? Because God is in control and your problems aren't in control. Now, in the book of Philippians, it's kind of interesting. Paul, as he wrote this book, he's in prison, he's worn out. He had a belief that God was in control. As a matter of fact, in Philippians 1 verse 12, listen to what he wrote. He says, "I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped me spread the good news. For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ." You see, Paul, in verse 12, basically says he understood why he was in prison. God was using that experience to spread the gospel. He was actually influencing the guards that took care of him. He also said in verse 15, talking about those other preachers who had wrong motives for their preaching, he says, "It's true that some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry, but others preach about Christ with pure motives." And then he says in verse 18, "But that doesn't matter whether their motives are false or genuine. The message about Christ is being preached either way, so I rejoice and I will continue to rejoice." You see, there was a group of preachers out there that were preaching and saying things about Paul. Paul didn't get upset. He said, "You know what? I just rejoice the fact the gospel is being spread." So when you look at Paul, you see a guy in prison, facing probably death, beaten throughout most of his 30-year ministry, and yet he's saying rejoice, and he's also saying, "Hey, God is in control." Now, there's other scriptures that talk about the sovereignty of God that kind of help you build your belief system. Proverbs 21:30 says, "No human wisdom or understanding or plan can stand against the Lord." In other words, we can do everything within our own ability to try to change things, but it says there, nothing can stand against the Lord's plan. Why? He's sovereign. God is control. In Daniel 4:35, it says, "All the people of the earth are nothing compared to Him. He does as He pleases among the angels of heaven and among the people of the earth. No one can stop Him or say to Him, 'What do you mean by doing these things?'" In other words, we serve a sovereign God who does not answer to us. He does as He pleases, and He's in total control. You know, He even controls the enemies that we sometimes face. Isaiah wrote in chapter 7, verse 18, talking about the enemies that were out there. It says, "In that day the Lord will whistle for the army of southern Egypt and for the army of Assyria. They will swarm around you like flies and bees." You see, God is sovereign. He controls the universe we live in. He controls everything that we face in life. And so we can rejoice because we know that God's in control. Now, an interesting place in the Bible is Isaiah chapter 6. King Uzziah had just died. King Uzziah had kept peace for Israel, and yet he's dead. And you know, anytime you have a leader who is dead, there is some anxiety. And I think one of the beautiful pictures that Isaiah experienced was in verse 1 through 3. It says, "It was in the year of King Uzziah that it was in the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Attending Him were mighty seraphim, each having six wings. With two wings they covered their face, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. They were calling out to each other, 'Holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with the glory.'" You see, Isaiah could have been worried because King Uzziah was dead until he saw the beautiful picture of who was still sitting on the throne, which was God. And He was in control. God is sovereign. He doesn't lose control. So you can rejoice. You can have calm when you understand in this crazy world we live in, God is still in control. Now, one of the things that you can do to get rid of your anxiety is to understand who your Heavenly Father is. You see, I'm convinced a lot of times that people are filled with anxiety because they don't know who God is. They don't know He's sovereign, which He is sovereign. They don't understand that He's in control when everything seems to be out of control. Listen, you can rejoice in the Lord always when you understand that nothing happens without God allowing it. Now, it may not be something you like, it might not be something you enjoy, but we need to understand that God is in control, and the better we get to know Him, the better we can handle our anxiety. Now, listen to several of these scriptures with their thoughts about who God is. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 21 through 26. I love this. It's one of my favorite Old Testament passages. Jeremiah wrote it. He said, "Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends." You see, there's a lot of people that aren't aware that God's love never ends. He says, "His mercies never cease. Great is His faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I say to myself, 'The Lord is my inheritance. Therefore I will hope in Him.' The Lord is good to those who depend on Him, to those who search for Him. So it is good to wait quietly for salvation from the Lord." You see, Jeremiah had a very strong understanding of who God was. He was faithful in love. He was a merciful God. He was a God that gave reason to have hope. And a lot of people are filled with anxiety because they don't know their Father. And when you know your Father and you know the way He handles things, there's hope. Listen to Romans 8:28. This is your Father. Listen to what He says. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. Do you know that your Heavenly Father can take any trouble that you have, any trouble that you face, and He can bring good out of it? And He promises to do that. You see, know who He is. Know that He loves you unconditionally. Know that He brings good out of bad. And Isaiah 26:3 is a beautiful one that reminds us of the importance of putting our hope in Him. It says, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in You, all whose thoughts are fixed on You." How do you get rid of anxiety? You focus on Him. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in You, all whose thoughts are fixed on You. I think sometimes when difficulties come and when the world explodes, we begin to focus on the problems, we begin to focus on the hurts, and we quit focusing on the sovereign God who gives us peace. Jeremiah wrote also, he wrote this, he says, "But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green, and they never stop producing fruit." You see, you got to know your Heavenly Father, but then you have to trust Him. When you trust Him, things will be bearable. You will have peace. You will have fruit. I found these quotes to give me some encouragement. This quote I love, it says, "The mind cannot at the same time be full of God and full of fear." If your mind is full of who God is and you understand who He is, you can't be fearful. Why? Because He is God. You see, as anxiety comes into your life, you need to say, "My focus and my trust is on Him." And ultimately, you have to trust Him with the things that cause you anxiety. I don't know that many people have celebrated the fact that God is sovereign. I think right now in our world it's so crazy and people are beginning to think that somehow God has lost control. Let me promise you this, God has not lost control. If you believe there is a world that is chaotic and no God in control, you have reason to be anxious. We must trust in Him. We must trust that He is in control. And regardless of what we have to go through, He will bring good out of it. We have to realize that He loves us. He is merciful towards us. And that we have nothing to fear when we have Him. My hope and my prayer for you is that you would be able to experience calm, because you know that today and tomorrow, whatever you go through, came through the hands of God. In other words, He allowed it to happen with the promise that He would bring good from it. Also, with the understanding, we don't know His plan, His ultimate plan, but He does. You will be full of anxiety if you do not know there's somebody in control. And the truth is, there is. And you need to trust Him. Let's pray. Father, as we look at our world, as we look at our community, as we look at our state, as we look at our country, as we look at the world, we're tempted to think God is not in control. But honestly, it's just the opposite. God is in control, and He is in the business of bringing good out of the difficult. We have to trust Him, and because He loves us, we can trust Him, and He will lead us in the direction we need to go. Father, I pray for those that are struggling with anxiety, with worry, because they're afraid that there's no future. There's no hope. Father, that is just a lie, because the hope and the future is in Your sovereign hand. Help us to believe that. Help us to trust that. For it's in Jesus' name. Amen.